one who accepts the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, literally called a Buddhist. But the one who accepts the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, go for three refuge, he also practice the Noble Eightfold Path. So in fact, no one is a Buddhist by level, but by practice. So these two strong factors make you the true Buddhist. First factor, you go to three refuge. Second factor, you dedicate to practice Noble Eightfold Path. If you can do these two things, you are a true follower. That will make you a true Buddhist. Now, when it is said, Buddham Saranam Gacchami, I go to the Buddha for refuge, it means with wholeheartedly you accept the Buddha as your supreme teacher, as your enlightened one, and there is no wavering over there. You accept the Buddha wholeheartedly, not because somebody else asked you to do that, but you yourself understand and have great confidence. And those people who accept the Buddha as their supreme teacher, and they might boldly say, Lati me saranam nanyam, Buddho me saranam param. I do not have any other refuge other than the Buddha. When you say, Dhammam saranam gacchami, I go to the Dhamma for refuge. Here it means, I accept and follow the noble teachings of the Buddha, for the purpose of ending the suffering. I follow the Noble Eightfold Path. Dhamma is to be accepted again after scrutinized, after analyzed, but out of blind faith. When someone says Sangham Saranam Gacchami, I follow the footsteps of those noble ones, those who are liberated Sangha members. And he or she dedicate to follow their footsteps and to become enlightened human beings. So these two factors, going for the refuge and practicing the Noble Eightfold Path, will make you a true follower of the Buddha. Now, where should we follow or practice the Noble Eightfold Path? Do you have to specifically go to the temple to do this? Or do you have to be a monk to follow the Noble Eightfold Path? Or do you have to seclude yourself to a monastery or forest? Of course, becoming a monk, going to a secluded monastery or any other places, perhaps might provide you different environment, conducive environment to practice deeply or different conditioning. But it does not mean to practice the Noble Eightfold Path, you have to renounce the worldly life as a lay person. You still can practice the Noble Eightfold Path as a lay person, and you can still develop your spiritual faculties, and you can still achieve the enlightenment. But of course, some of the lay people might find it is easy to be a monk and stay in a monastery or in secluded a place that they can practice deeply and dedicate full time. Anyway, Buddha has openly given the Noble Eightfold Path for all his followers, monks, nuns, as well as lay people, as a means to enlightenment. The methods to be followed and practiced. So you need to practice the Noble Eightfold Path in your day-to-day life. You have to practice this in your house with your brothers and sisters, with your husband and wife and colleagues, friends. You have to practice it. You have to practice the Noble Eightfold Path in the bus stop. Dhamma is to be practiced everywhere. In a MRT station, you need to practice. If you are not going to practice the Dhamma in a MRT station and your bus stop at home, where are you going to practice it? You think you have to come to the temple or go to under a tree to practice the Noble Eightfold Path? Then that is not going to be practical. You need to practice the Noble Eightfold Path in your office. You need to practice it while you are driving. Some people have this misunderstanding. In fact, the Dhamma is to be practiced only in a specific location, specific area, and a specific condition. That is not the teaching to build the givers. Dhamma is to be practiced here and now, sandhittiko. Now, how can we practice the Noble Eightfold Path at our home, in a MRT station, at bus stop, or everywhere else? As I said in my earlier explanation about the middle part, I said the Noble Eightfold Path, eight factors, ultimately can be reduced or analyzed as eight mental factors. So it is the training of your mind. But of course, in broader sense, we also divide it into ethical, spiritual, and intellectual development of the faculties. Now, let's briefly go through this and understand how we can practice. Right understanding. Right understanding is understanding of the Four Noble Truths. Just now we talked about the first truth, dukkha. Now, apply it in your body and mind. Do you undergo dukkha? Do you experience dukkha in everyday life? The moment you wake up until after the moment you go to sleep, do you experience dukkha? This is where you need to understand it, not anywhere else. So dukkha is to be analyzed. Dukkha is to be experienced. Dukkha is to be understood within the body and mind. You do not need to go to a monastery or under a tree to do that. Of course, if you can do that, you have better or more time specifically to dedicate as a form of meditation to do that. But while you are doing your day-to-day activities, you still can understand this. Now, the cause of dukkha, as the Buddha pointed out, it's our own defilement. Greed, hatred, illusion, ill will, jealousy, anger, cruelty, these are the chankas, these are the defilements that create both mental and physical suffering and pain and agony. Now Buddha reduced this to one factor, what we call craving. Craving is the cause of suffering. Of course, when Buddha says craving is the cause of suffering, that is the immediate, it's most visible, it's most fundamental, but the craving is, of course, included all the other defilements as well. So when you experience dukkha in your day-to-day life, you analyze it. Try to see the cause of suffering. You might see it is your own defilement. In fact, create all these problems. Then, the cessation of suffering is also within the body and mind. The moment you understand that if I can get rid of the attachment and if I can uproot these defilements, mind can become calm, serene, peaceful. It is very logical. And then, of course, how to do that is brought in Noble Eightfold Path itself. You need to dedicate yourself to training. Now, this understanding, what we call right understanding, leads to right thoughts. There are three types of right thoughts. Thoughts of generosity, thoughts of loving kindness, thoughts of compassion. When you understand, craving and the other defilements are the cause of suffering, instead of craving, you produce thoughts of generosity. When you understand that all the living beings, in fact, do not wish to suffer but wish to be free from suffering and to be well and happy, you radiate loving kindness and produce the thoughts of loving kindness. May all the beings be well and happy. Goodwill. When you understand all the living beings have fear towards suffering, and then you wish those living beings who are undergoing suffering to be free from suffering. Compassion. So we right thoughts, and then we move to right speed, right action, right life. Someone who is full of compassion, goodwill, generous thoughts, and have right understanding, that person will never inflict suffering to any other living being. So when that person speaks, he speaks truthful words. He refrains from speaking in a such a way to divide the people, but he will speak in a such a way to unite the people. He will avoid harsh speech, but speak in a way that gentle, polite, and then everyone like to hear a person. And then he will also speak in a such a way that the words will create peace, happiness, and joy, and bring meaning to life. He will not waste his time speaking rubbish. So he adopts a pleasant way, meaningful way of speech. And he also adopts a pleasant and wholesome and polite way of behavior through the body. Having refrained from killing, injuring other living beings, having understood all the living beings have fear towards the death, he will live compassionately, having refrained from such violent activities. Having refrained from stealing, and he will live generously. And he will satisfy his sense desire in an accepted way, without violating, without creating health problems in the society. And then he will earn in a peaceful way, without damaging the environment, without destroying this planet, without doing any harm to other living beings. He will earn the right speed. So this human being, his thinking is very clear and wholesome, his thoughts are clear and wholesome, his speech, his actions are wholesome and clear. And based on that, he will move to next step. What is the next step? Developing his mind. Then he will dedicate himself to cultivate meditation and many other ways to develop right mindfulness and right concentration through tireless effort. He will dedicate himself and he will be very energetic, striving. He will not give the way to be lazy and idle. He will be always very energetic and very proactive in a wholesome way. He has got right effort, unwavering effort, tireless effort. And then he will dedicate to develop right mindfulness and right concentration. Eventually, when you develop in this way, cultivating this way, and you will break through the delusion. Now, where do you have to practice all these things? Wherever you are, you have to practice it. Of course, when it comes to the meditation, you might need secluded place and secluded area, a guidance from proper teachers. And you can practice diligently under such teachers, and meditation is a must. It is not optional if you are a true Buddhist. But all the other factors, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and right understanding, right thoughts, all the six factors, including right effort, all these, and right mindfulness and concentration to a limited extent, you still can practice in your day-to-day life. And of course, right mindfulness and right concentration in extensive way, you can practice in meditation. But other than meditation, there are many other ways also you can deal with these abilities. Well, when you dedicate yourself with Noble Eightfold Path, eventually you will break through the delusions and you will be awakened to the first state of enlightenment. At that moment of awakening, at that moment of enlightenment to the first state, at that moment of destroying the first layer of delusion, there are three types of delusion will be destroyed. First delusion is the illusion about your own identity. At the moment, we have our own identity to call I, me, my, or we might think I have a soul, I myself is soul. Whatever such belief, self-centered, blind desire, created because of not seeing the fire aggregates of bringing in its true way, will be destroyed the moment you have got the Dhamma Chakku, the vision of Dhamma. In its true way, you will see your body and mind and everything else in this universe, in fact, conditioned, compounded. Suppose at night you are walking along the road. It's a dark night, and all of a sudden you happen to see a snake. You become so frightened because there's a snake, and you are so frightened and stress, tension, fear, all this arises in your mind. But then, all of a sudden, a lightning arises in the sky, and for a brief second, you can see the whole world in its true way. And then you start to see, in fact, yes, there is a tree, and there is a mountain, there is this person or that person. In fact, this snake is not a snake, it's a rock, piece of rock. For the first time in your life, you start to see the world, and this is called awakening. For the first time, you see the five aggregates of clinging in its true way. So the identical view of illusion related to this identical view disappear from your life. For the first time in your life, another delusion will disappear. At the moment, we accept the Buddha as enlightened one, Dhamma as his principles to lead to enlightenment, and Sangha members as enlightened ones, those are liberated ones. But when we accept it, we accept through faith. But here faith is not blind faith, but faith based on understanding. But still, it is not our own knowledge. But the first time when this thing happened to you, the breakthrough, the delusion, for first time in your life, you will see very clearly Buddha is really, really enlightened. Dhamma is well expounded, and that is the path. Then you will see the liberated Sangha members are following the good path. And any doubt about the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha will disappear. And then you will become a true follower of the Buddha. and you will not be converted to any other religion after that. It is impossible. It is said at that moment of breakthrough of the delusion, it is said, and these guarantees are made. Number one, you will never follow any other religious people. Or simply, you cannot be converted because you see by yourself. Secondly, it is guaranteed you will never be born in lower realm. Thirdly, it is guaranteed you are going to be enlightened. These three assurances are what by you the moment you are awakened from the deep sleep of ignorance for the first time. And also, other than the illusion of identity and doubt about the temple gems, and you also will destroy any delusion and illusion regarding the rites and rituals. For the first time in your life, you will clearly, precisely will see if anyone on the earth or any other planet were to be enlightened, this is the only way. Noble Eightfold Path. There's no any other way. Whoever is to be enlightened must follow this path. And no other rites and rituals or no other ways can lead to enlightenment. Yes, perhaps they might lead to heaven, they might lead to hell, they might lead to any other destination, the way that you practice, whatever. If you practice killing and torturing and believing it is to be good, you will head to be hell. And if you were to do something good, wholesome, you will head to be heaven. But of course, if anybody were to head towards enlightenment, there is another way to go. There's no any other path. For the first time in your life, the moment you are awakened, you will see this, and all the illusion regarding the rites and rituals and grasping of such things are disappeared from your life. Now, when this happens, it is said, you are the true follower of the Buddha. Now, we all are following the Buddha's teaching, but we follow the Buddha's teaching and the Noble Eightfold Path out of faith. We have faith in the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, and we believe what Buddha teach, so we follow the Noble Eightfold Path. But still we have not seen it by ourselves. But the moment we see it by ourselves is the moment of awakening. Now suppose, friends, someone were to climb up to a top of a mountain. And then that person were to say, hey, come up, I can see a very beautiful pond in my right hand side. Very huge lake, very beautiful. And top of the mountain is very cooling. There's no danger. No dangerous animals here. Can be very safe here. You can be peaceful. There's no fear. There's no agitation. And then he will explain whatever he can see from the top of the mountain. Now those people who are at the bottom of the mountain hear what the person says. And some of these people who want to give a try and who want to test it and who want to challenge if it's true or not, he will take the action and they follow his instructions to how to come up to the mountain and follow the track and go by themselves and were to see through their own eyes, yes, what he said is true. So this is a simile. The one who went to the top of the mountain for the first time is the Buddha in non-history. Then he said to the others, there is a way to come up to here. Once you come here, you will experience this. And that was the roadmap, which is the Dhamma. And those who followed already to the top of the mountain, and they are the Sangha members. So if any one of you were to follow the track, and go to the top of the mountain and were to see it for the first time, that is the time you will understand, yes, what he said is true. Yes, the path is true path and it leads to this place. And yes, there are so many others also have come here. and for the first time, you realize it. When you realize it, your delusion will disappear. You do not need the faith anymore. So those who achieve enlightenment, they are given the label Asad, faithless one, unbelievers. Why? There's nothing to believe. You have seen it by yourself. You will believe as long as you do not see. You will have faith as long as you do not experience. The moment you see it, the moment you experience it, belief, doubt, faith, all will disappear. It becomes your experience. So you will become an unbeliever. In a supreme sense, when I say unbeliever means you know, you see by yourself. So to be a true follower of the Buddha, in fact we need to go to the three refuge and follow the noble eightfold path. And then of course we accept it out of faith in the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha and follow the path. But the moment that we are enlightened to the first stage is the beginning of the true Buddhist life.